11-year-old boy, sorry, got hit as he was out there doing the trick-or-treating. Pray for him. He's in critical condition as of today. The driver did do the right thing. Driver stopped. Driver's participating with the police and the investigation. But still not what you want to hear. Not what you want to hear. And verse 10 says, "And David inquired of God, saying, Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." When was the last time you had a conversation with God that went like that? "Hey, Lord, shall I go down to the Bible conference? And if so, will we have safe travels? Lord, should I go into work today? Lord, should I go out and do this work in the yard? Should I go over and visit this person or go on this vacation or that vacation?" So often we make the plan and then we go back to God and say, "Lord, please bless this." And that's not always the way that it should be. We should seek to do things we already know that God will bless. I used to ask that of my, I used to have a manager who was in charge of what I could or could not give away when we were running specials. And I'd always come up with this big thing because you got to negotiate. I'd always come up with this big thing to get people to come in. And he'd sit there and say, "No, no, no." And I said, "This is one time." He goes, "Why do you keep doing this to me? You bring me these things. You know I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes to you." I go, "I know, but I just keep hoping one day you will." And he goes, "Well, if you bring me something I can say yes to, I would." And that's so often the relationship we have with God. I hung on to that. That's got a spiritual connotation to it. We ask God to bless these messes that we make. "Hey, Lord, I know that this transgresses your law. It has nothing to do with what you want me to do or be doing right now. But will you please bless it?" Tim Hawkins has this joke about asking God to bless terrible food. Like, "Oh, Lord, please bless these Cheetos and extra large Dr. Pepper." What are you expecting him to do with all that? You know, perhaps if we paused and we considered, "Lord, what would you have us do?" we would have a lot less problems in our lives. And if we asked in the way that we would get an answer. When you pray to the Lord, you must look to the scripture for wisdom and knowledge and for the answer. I get so sad. Well, what I did is I sat there and I proclaimed, "This is what's going to happen." And by the power of name it and claim it, God gave it to me. It's almost like those old stories, those old Celtic folk stories where if you catch a leprechaun by the beard, he has to give you his gold or a wish or something like that. If I just tell God what I want and I'm faithful enough, I just grab a hold of him and I can have whatever I want. And that is nothing short of blasphemy, by the way. That is nothing short but grotesque disobedience and disrespect to God. So when we consider, "What will I do?" we need to be like David. "Lord, would you have me go up? And if I go up, would you deliver them into my hands?" Verse 10. "And David inquired of God, saying, Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto him, Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." David asked. He got the answer. Now listen, there are some things you don't have to ask God about. Should I soul win? Should I give the gospel? Is that a question you have to ask God? No, he's already told you to do it. Right? I used to tell my boys will do this and it drives me a little crazy. "Dad, can I go to the bathroom?" "We'll be in the house, it'll be 3 p.m. We'll have nothing to do all day. Can I go? Just go to the bathroom. Don't ask me that. Just go. You don't have to ask permission around here. Just go. Right? Can I have a drink of water? Don't ask me for water. You know how to get the water. Get the water." All right? Basic needs, basic stuff. Man, you have free range to take care of that. So, "Lord, should I go and give the gospel to this person?" The answer's already been given. Yes. "Lord, should I go to church on Sunday? Or should I go golfing?" No, you should definitely be in church. "Oh, Lord, should I tithe? Or should I save my money up for this concert that's coming up? You don't have to wonder about that. That is answered already. It is when we pretend like we didn't hear the answer that we get ourselves into trouble. What does God say? Yes, I will deliver them unto your hand. And what a blessing that is to hear. Verse 11, so they came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. Now that word Baal, that means Lord. When you see Baal, we're not always necessarily talking of one particular god. We often say Baal worship. That is a false god that they would worship, and they would call that Lord. They would call that by that name. But Baal was many different gods throughout the years. When he's talking about Baal, he is saying, the Lord, and Perazim, break through. So what he named that place was, this was the spot where the Lord broke through. Here is this line of some of the mightiest fighters that have ever been alive. I mean, Philistines, they were brutish, sure, but they were brutes. They could fight, they fought ugly, they fought dirty. They had 9-10 foot people on their side. They were a force to be reckoned with. And we look down at where they were. It was a near impregnable spot. So when David sits there and says, this is where the Lord broke through, he's saying something huge. They broke through the line of the Philistines only because God gave them the ability to do it, because God gave them the victory. Many of us, we fight battles day in and day out, just like the Philistines. They bother us, they bug us, and mostly, they're our faults. If the Israelites would have done what they should have done when they first walked in, this would have been an easy time. The times that we're looking at today would have been a much easier time. Had they just cleaned the land out thoroughly, but they didn't. So now here's David having to clean it up. We have sin. Let's just be honest. We have sin. And that sin comes up again and again and again. And I don't want to sound harsh here. When I say we, I mean we. And I'd like to kindly remind you that you are just the aunts, uncles, and grandparents to my sermons. You know what I mean by that? It means I get them all week. You have them for an hour. You know what I mean? They visit you. They wreck my heart up all week. Sometimes even more, depending on what the sermon is and how long I've been working on it, right? We have sins that run up one side of us and down the other. Maybe it's your temper. Maybe it's your patience. Maybe it's your temperance. Maybe it's your modesty. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's your reactions to things. We all have sin. And we shouldn't. I want to be very clear on that. We have it, and we shouldn't. And we've been given every opportunity and every tool possible to get rid of it. And yet there it is on your door every other day, just, hey, how are you? Would like to come back in, get you in trouble with God again. We ought to shun these behaviors, but we don't. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The Philistines were an enemy that should have been defeated long ago. But because of trade and compassion and other kinds of nonsense, they were allowed to stay in the land. We cannot allow our sins to stay in our lives. We can't allow it. I get tired of this mentality. Well, no one is perfect. And we say it as though we are justifying the fact that we are not perfect. Right? You got here with a car, right? If you walked home today, we would look at you funny. At least I would. I'd call you. What are you doing? Well, brother, I'm walking home. Well, don't you know you've got a car you could get there? Yeah, but I'm more comfortable doing it this way. That would make no sense to me. So why do we hang on to things that slow us down in our Christian walk? Why do we avoid using the tools that God has given us to remove them? There's no excuse for it. There's no reason for it. We ought to be better. We ought to be stronger. And what happens is still time in and time again, these Philistines come in. These Philistines of sin. Saul never took care of the Philistines the way he should have. I mean, my oh my, if he had just put half the effort into clearing out the Philistines as he did looking for David, there wouldn't have been a Philistine in the Bible. But no, all the same, he just went with the status quo. Just did what he wanted. Well, David stepped up. He says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what God wants. In order for any of us to break through the battles that we are facing today with ourselves, we have to let God break through. There has to be a stopping of the sin. There has to be a stopping where you get down on your knees or however it is best that you can have a respectful pose to God and you tell him, now is the time where I'm done with this. No more. I've disrespected you too much. I've abused you for your grace for too long. I've used you as some kind of way of throwing out the dirt, just using Christ's blood to wash it up. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just say I'm sorry. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just make an apology to God and everything will be fine. That's not how it works. That's abusive. That's mean. That's terrible. We ought to show more respect to God than that. To where because we know the price he paid, we refuse to jack up the bill. We refuse to. That would be like Christ inviting you out to eat. And you're looking at your wallet and you go, all right, well, it looks like it's going to be a cheeseburger and French fry kind of day. And the Lord says, don't worry, I'll pay for it. And you order two steaks, the lobster, big old order of shrimp. And you're gonna have yourself a couple chocolate milkshakes in there, and you know you gotta take something home. You know you gotta take something home. No one would do that to each other, I hope. But when the Lord says, "Well, I've paid for your sin," what gives us the right to go out there and order the whole menu, or to order as much as the menu of sin as we possibly can? We're losing battles because we are not strong enough. God's given us everything. We are inviting the enemy in. I remember when the Israelites left these people, it wasn't because they were too hard to beat. It wasn't because God wasn't going to give them the victory. It was because they looked over and they're like, hey, we kind of like your gods. We kind of like your music. We kind of like you. We kind of like the stuff you're doing. And we would really like you to stay. See, that's one of our biggest mistakes. We make two mistakes when it comes down to people. We assume that all sinners are difficult to get along with. As a matter of fact, I can think of many people who would get you into any kind of sin with fantastic personalities. You get along with them all day. I've met some people who are involved in gross sin and drug addiction, and they were the most pleasant people you could ever meet. And I've met other people who, again, in the best of circumstances, Christians, good solid Baptists, who were the worst of people to get to know. We cannot confuse the fact that they're stuck in sin with whether or not they have a good or good not personality. They have a great personality. But the reason why we can't go out with them is because we can't get caught up in their sin. We can't let them close to where we're getting tempted by that stuff. I've told more than a few people, I think you're great. I have a wonderful time working with you. I can't hang out with you. Why? Because you get up to stuff. I love you, but you get up to stuff. And that's perfectly okay. I think you're great. Oh, well, it doesn't sound like you think I'm great. Hey, listen, you do stuff that run contrary to the things I'm supposed to be doing. I just can't. And I wish you all the best. I hope that'll change the fact that we're jovial to each other here at work. But I've had that conversation a few times. Hey, why don't you come out to us, join us over here at the bar? Mm-mm. No, thank you. The reason why we get into trouble as often as we do isn't because God has failed us, isn't because there's an issue with the strength God has given us, it is because we kind of like the people. We kind of like the sin. We kind of like how we feel when we do it. We like the way it makes us feel for the few seconds that it's going on, and then when it's all over, we wake up in the morning going, oh no, what have I done? The other mistake that we make when it comes down to other people is we believe, number one, as I said, that a really bad sinner will have a terrible personality. But again, I want to remind you that just because there's a good personality there or a bad personality there, that it can or cannot affect you any more or less. Sin is sin. It will get on you. Sin is sin. It will affect you. It's almost like having a dog covered in fleas. And because it's so adorable, we hug on it and love on it. And it looks clean. And it looks good. And it makes a good persuasion. Right? I've never met a dog I didn't want to scratch behind its ears. Right? It's never happened. We find wonderful people. Or we find terrible people. And we try to imagine whether or not that sin's going to come off on us. Sin is sin. You're susceptible to it. We don't want to have anything to do with that nonsense. So what must we do? We must be like David. Number one, we got to learn God's will. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? These pages are filled with do this and don't do that. The book is filled with it. We know, we can know, we can learn if we don't know what God's will is. We need only inquire. And if you're having a hard time finding it, there's people around you. You have a pastor. They'd love to look up those things. Yeah, but if I tell you what that is, you're going to know that I fell into temptation. I already kind of know that happens to you. I know I look young. But I wasn't born yesterday, right? I know temptation happens. And I know that temptation happens to good people just as much as it does bad people, if we want to give such a designation to people. Temptation happens. It is my job not to sit there and look at the sin that you're tempted by and decide whether or not I'm going to help you. It's my job to help you no matter what. No matter what. It's my job to help. As your pastor, it's mine to get in there and say, thus saith the Lord, and this is what you should do, and this is how you fix that. But if we refuse to inquire of God, we will never know His will. Or in knowing His will, we will still refuse to do it because we still have our own fancy notions of what we should or should not do. Next thing to know is to submit to God's will. Once you know God's will, that's easy enough. I've met a lot of people who knew, but you must also submit to God's will. David couldn't get up in the next morning and say, all right, well, God said if we go, He'll deliver them into our hands. But I guess, does that really mean that we have to go? Yeah. That's what God told you to do. That's what He told you to do. Hey, if this is what God says about foul language, if this is what God says about the things I put in my eyes and ears, if this is what God says about the way I dress, about the way that I look, do I really have to do it? Yes. Number one, disobeying God comes with consequences. That's one of Xander's spelling words this, was it this week or last week? Consequences. All right. Now, what else happens? Well, let's say you're at the zoo, and there's a big old sign. And it says, don't get in the cage with the gorilla. Following me? If I'm caught breaking the rules, the zoo could catch me, throw me out, ban me, fine me, punish me in whatever they see fit, right? Right? So if I sin, God could catch me. God will catch me. And God could chasten me, correct? Now, what is the other downside of getting in the cage with the gorilla? You find out how strong and unhappy with human beings gorillas can be. So what happens if I modify the way I dress? Number one, you got to deal with God. Number two, you got to deal with a society that's incredibly lustful to the point of hurting people. You are sharing something with people who desire to hurt you. I don't know what anything else we could plug into there. We ought to submit to God's will. If you don't submit to God's will, you will always be fighting the same battles against the same sins. Because you never started obeying God. When He says don't, don't. When He says do, do. Don't fight Him on it. You are not fighting the ideas of spiritual men or church people. You are submitting to a thrice holy God who knows the world, who knows what we're living in, and knows what you need best. And when we submit to Lord, listen, the pastor, he keeps preaching on this sin. And at first, I don't believe him. I really don't think that he's right. I want to fight him on this. But more and more, I see it in your word. What should I do? And he gives you that time. You go, all right, Lord, never mind. I know what I ought to be doing. I know what I should do. And that's when you relied on him, when you believed him, when you've inquired of him, when you've submitted to him. That's when you get the breakthrough. Well, it's been 6 or 7 weeks since that sin has bothered me. Maybe we could dial it down a little bit. Maybe it's just been a couple days. Hey, that's wonderful. God's pushed through the line of the enemy. Right? He's giving you the push through. You're not going to find it on your own, by the way. You're not going to find it on your own. As the Bible says, like a dog returned to a vomit, so does a man return to a sin. You need the Lord. Jay Adams, he was he's kind of the name in Christian counseling. He talked about nouthetics, putting off the old man, putting on the new. For every habit you take out that's bad, you got to put a godly one in there. You got to start behaving more like a Christian. Take out the parts that don't work, put in the ones God has commanded. We must follow his instructions. Instead of marching to the beat of your own drum, instead of being quirky, instead of all the cute words we put to rebellion, we need to follow his instructions. Verse 12, and when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Why did David burn them with fire? Because the Israelites had a bad habit, didn't they? They had a bad habit of learning about these gods and adopting them. And folks, we're no different. We find the things that this world holds up, and we get excited about it sometimes. You know, I know not everybody agrees with me on this, but I've been firm in my not being about Halloween. Been firm on it. And I don't mean to rattle any chains. I don't mean to cause any trouble, but in my personal opinion, when I'm looking at that, the Bible says, flee the appearance of evil. And when I'm looking and I see witches and goblins and demons and body parts and these things, and then I'm going to take my children through them and say, okay, but as long as we know we're not worshiping the devil, we're good. That's not right, is it? Remember back when we had video stores? Xander asked me what a Blockbuster was. I never felt older in my life. Never felt older. I tried to explain it to him. Because they were trying to decide what movie they wanted to watch. And they were going back and forth. Like one was a movie they'd watched a lot. One was one they haven't seen yet. And they're going back and forth over this. Sorry to use you guys as an illustration again. But it's not like a Blockbuster. We've got them right there on the thing. You can watch one tonight, one tomorrow. It really doesn't matter. You can watch them till your eyes fall out. It really doesn't, like, it's free. You just watch it. It's not like Blockbuster. What's a Blockbuster? And I had explained to them, sitting there arguing with your siblings, which one you were going to take home because, you know, it's once in a blue moon somebody took you to the video store. You're going to rent one. Now you got to decide which one it's going to be. It's not that big of a deal. Hey, remember The Room in the video stores? If I took my child through that... Now remember, guys, this is inappropriate behavior. None of this is good. You'd look at me and you'd say, brother, that's not good for them to see. There's a lady over in Flushing. She's been sending letters to people with grotesque scenes on their front lawn, telling them it's a shame that they've got to decorate with death. And the whole community got really upset about it. But I want you to focus on that idea. Decorate with death. Decorate with death. Now, there are people who have seen terrible things, who have a hard time this time of year, just like they do in the 4th of July. They have a hard time with this time of year. Because while many think it's all good, cute, fun, put some Reese's Pieces in a skull and hand that out, there's going to be a lot of people who have seen an exposed skull before, and they're going to be a little bothered by it. What does the Lord say about these things? Flee the appearance of it. Oh, but that's not what it... Flee the appearance of it. I ran up to the church. I grabbed a bunch of our cards just in case somebody knocked on the door. Then the snow fell. We didn't get anybody. I also had Trail of Blood out there for any reformers that would come knocking. Oh, man, we need to follow the Lord. Why did he burn those images? Because Christians just love walking up to things that ain't for them and going, well, I'll have a little bit of that. I'll participate a little bit in this. Now, I mean, again, if you look at the imagery, why? And I didn't even mean to bring this up tonight, but while we're here, why would we do that? We sit there, how about the music people listen to? Well, she left me, she took the dog, she took the truck, she took the house, all because she caught me sleeping with her sister. And it's got a nice southern twang to it, it's got a really good hook, and we love that. That ain't for you. That's some Jerry Springer stuff. We'd roll our eyes if we heard that in the store, wouldn't we? If we heard two people talking about that at a restaurant, we'd sit there and be really upset that they're ruining our meal with this really, really redneck story. Oh, but it's not as bad as rap music. It's not as bad as rock and roll. It's not as bad as this or as bad as that. I like this one. Well, Elvis has a gospel theme, and Sinatra has a gospel song. Hey, did you know you can't undo a life of severe sin with one gospel album? I don't think you could do it with three or four. I'd have to check. It's not for us. That music, that lifestyle, the things that they're singing about, that ain't for us. Hey, if we're going to be hanging around the Philistines, we got to stop crying about them punching us in the eye. Well, why do I have all this sin in my life? You're surrounded by people encouraging you to do it. Oh, no, I don't have friends like that. You have a radio? Yeah, you have a television set? And my, oh, my, we sit there and we hear of a stabbing or a shooting in our neighborhood, we lose our minds. But as long as it's on the television, we don't mind a little blood, guts, and gore. That's a problem. That's a problem. We talk about how we'd be offended to hear the Lord's name taken in vain, but yet we will watch the most vulgar of language. We'll listen to that on a TV show. Why? So I have something to talk about tomorrow. Have we lost our minds? So when David came across those images, you know what he did? He burned them. Why? Because that ain't for them. It was dangerous. He was refusing to allow a repetition of the problem. We keep having the same sin day in and day out because we don't refuse to let the problem repeat itself. We don't become part of the reason the problem stops. We've got to be a part of that. Lord, I'm going to put everything I can into making sure this don't happen again. Because I promise you this, you sin once, the devil's going to come back. You get a taste for a sin, your flesh is going to want it again. How do we know this? Well, let's take a look at the verse 13. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. This is Rephaim, by the way. Therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, go not up after them. Well, now what? First you say, go up, and I went up, and great victory. When God tells you to do something, do it. Now let's finish this verse. Go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Sometimes God will say, do this. Sometimes God will say, don't do that, do this instead. We need to listen to God when he says, don't do that. And rest assured that for everything he tells you not to do, there's an equal thing to go along with it. So that little nagging I did about music... All right, well, if I'm not allowed to listen to the to the punk rock rap flavored country music that you can find today. What am I supposed to be listening to? You know what you're supposed to be listening to. What does the Bible say? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. These are the things we're supposed to be encouraging each other with. These are the things we're supposed to be listening to. Things that build us up. Things that lift us up. There's a, I found this on YouTube. I don't know what church affiliation they are, but it's a group of people who've done a very professional job with some amazing hymns. Some hymns I'd never heard before. They're like 2 hours each. There's four of them. I could hit play on that. That'll take me all through my study time. I love it. Beautiful voices. It changes the tone of my work. Let me give you a rule of thumb here. If you can't read the Bible while that's going on in the background, it's probably a good indicator of something we shouldn't be messing with. Don't do this. Do that instead. If we want victory over the enemy, if we want victory over our temptations, instead of them coming back again and again and again, what we ought to do, what we need to do, is stop what God tells us to stop and do the things he tells us to do instead. He tells them, he says, don't do that. Flank them around the side. Approach them from the mulberry trees. Now, what is that? That's cover. What they've done is instead of meeting the battle head on like the Romans would, of course there weren't Romans at this time, but head on as the Romans would or as the British would, what they did is they approached them from the back. They came up along these mulberry trees and they were hidden among these trees. And let's go ahead and just keep reading. And it shall come to be, and it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And in my mind, I can almost see God putting his hand down over the mulberry trees as he passes over them to head down to the battle with the Philistines. Just, whoosh, here we go. When will we wrap our head around the notion that God is willing to fight your temptation with you? He's willing to fight your temptation with you. He's willing to go out before you. He's willing to tell you how to get past it. He's willing to give you the grace and the peace and the strength to be able to say no. You just got to go to him. But we don't think about it, do we? We get all caught up. Hey, here's the Philistines. Let's go down and see what new sin they have for us today. Hey, here's this thing we're not supposed to have. Let's find a new way of getting it into the house and not letting anybody know about it. Let us stand firm and ask God to help us with our temptations. And knowing this, that he has not left a one to us that cannot be handled, that he will not give us a way of escape, the Bible says. There is no temptation that can come your way he can't help you get out of. So why on earth would we go to anybody else? Why on earth? God tells us not to go certain ways. Hey, don't go up. Go around. He tells us to do things that would put us into a better situation. That would make it to where the flesh can't win. He knows it. Jesus Christ walked this earth. He knows all about temptation. He's seen the way we are. And by the way, he was God. He knew all along. He knows what we are. He knows what you are. He knows what it's like to have a body that wants things. He was hungry. He needed to sleep. He was thirsty. He had bodily needs. He knows what it's like to live like us. He doesn't know what it's like to sin, though. I'll tell you what, it's possible for us to live large swaths of time without sinning. Just because we are sinners by nature, it's not like how we need air. We can survive for the rest of our lives without sin. We need to submit to his instructions. Instructions like regular prayer, regular reading, regular study, regular church attendance. Regular worship. These things that we're supposed to do that will build us up spiritually so that we are in the right strategic place to where we can rapidly get help from God when the enemy is at our gates. Verse 16, David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even unto Gezer, which, by the way, is a huge space. Right? It is not a Sunday walk. It is a huge space. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. I think what we want, I'll be honest, what I want is I want to wake up tomorrow and my sin nature is afraid to ask. You ever do that when you were a kid? You'd be out with your mom and your dad and you'd heard no so many times. You were afraid to ask. You know what I mean? Hey, ask your mom if it's okay if you come over and spend the whole week with us. No, I don't think I'm going to ask her that. Sometimes we know better than to ask. I'd like for my sin nature to wake up tomorrow, just be afraid to ask. That's not going to happen if you keep saying yes to it. It's not going to happen. You know, I think so often the way that we become overindulgent with ourselves. Well, I've got the strong impulse to do this. I've got the strong impulse to do that. And we give that and we give into that and we give into that and we give into that. Now, you got to remember, your sin nature is a toddler. Toddlers don't rhyme nor reason. They just either want or don't want. Sometimes both at the same time. Sometimes both. I want this, I want this. There was a cute little video somebody sent me. It was a little girl. She wanted a hot dog. She's in the store with her mom. I want a hot dog. I want a hot dog. I want a hot dog. Can I have a hot dog? And just like they counted on the video how many times the little girl wanted a hot dog. So they took her to a restaurant and they ordered her a hot dog. And she took down, she looked at the hot dog and she began to cry. Why? Because she doesn't like hot dogs. And if I have not just summed up your sin nature, I don't know what would. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. You're not supposed to have it. Don't you know I feel strong emotions if I can't have this thing? If the preacher gets up and preaches on my dress and he preaches on my music and preaches on my TV and preaches on, oh, it makes me so sad. You know, you're going to be okay. There's a lot to do here on this planet that doesn't involve bathing yourself in sin. And that's what we do. We take our brains and we're just baptizing it, just marinating it, pickling it in sinful influence, and then wondering why we can't get our stuff together. Because you've surrounded yourself with it. You've refused to fight it. You've refused to clean it out. You've welcomed it in time in and time again. I can only imagine some of these Philistines looking over at David. David, who once wanted to go into battle with them, looking over at him going, David, what's wrong, man? What is this? Remember back when you got all upset that we wouldn't let you fight with us? I knew we shouldn't trust you. Some of us, we've got that relationship with our sin. We've said yes and we've fought for it. We've been on its side for so long, we forget who we are. And the people who typically give into that sin with us, they're confused when we step away from it. We see here that once this battle had been won, and folks, I wish I had... I don't typically like the idea of PowerPoints for sermons. I really don't. But man, on a Wednesday night, to be able to pop a screen up and be like, they went from here to here, right? And show you, that'd be a pretty impressive thing to do, right? That was a big battle. And the Philistines weren't kitty cats, right? They weren't imaginary friends. They weren't, you know, the Canadian Armed Forces. They were legitimate. Right? They won this great battle in God's hands. And then what happened? The nations feared David. The reason why you're not getting victory over your flesh is because, yes, it's a strong enemy. Yes, it's a big battle. But you don't crucify it enough. You don't tell it no enough. Now, again, I know how direct that sounds, but I want to remind you, it sits in my heart a lot longer than it's got to visit you. This is tough. This is the battle and the work of the rest of our lives. Looking into the mirror and saying, no, you can't have that. You can't do that. Whether we're dealing with personal things like gluttony or outward expressive things like our temper or our reactions to things, things that we think don't hurt anybody, like the music that we listen to or the words that we say, it doesn't matter. If God says don't, I promise you if you do, it'll be the reason why you don't have a victorious Christian lifestyle. Why doesn't your boat sail as well as it should when you got all these holes in it? Hey, why doesn't your refrigerator cool anymore since you got the door wide open? We poke holes in our spirituality. And then we wonder why. Why do I have these problems? Why is my heart the way that it is? Why is my mind the way that it is? I'll tell you. You've left it out in the wrong kind of elements. You've practiced the wrong kind of things. If we are to have change, if we are to have victory to the point to where temptation bothers you less. Now, maybe you've experienced this. I pray that you have. Where you've asked God to take a sin away from you, asked Him to forgive you, you've repented of the sin, and all of a sudden you've said no to yourself long enough and hard enough and as many times as you needed it enough, so you got to the point to where you didn't really feel temptation for it. I hope you all know what it's like to be enslaved by something and then freed by it and you haven't thought about it for a while. Don't try to think about it now. Keep going with the streak. Right? All of our sin should be that way. All of our sin can be that way. Where they know, I can't go by that place anymore. I can't come over and ask that anymore. I can't expect to get away with that. You must master the flesh. You must master your impulses. Those little things that crop up and say, oh, I think I should. Oh, I'd love to. And when you have crucified the flesh enough, it begins to lose its pull. We feed the spirit, we starve the flesh. We feed the flesh, we starve the spirit. We must feed the flesh and starve the spirit, and it will lose its frequency. It will lose its strength in temptation. Then it loses its place in your life. Something you've gotten so used to giving into, something that's been so important to you to give into this and give into that. I've known a lot of people, well, I've got to have my morning cigarette or else it affects my whole day. That's how much power your flesh has over you? Well, when I get into these situations, I tend to drop some cuss words and I scream and I holler and this and that. But that's just the way I am. Everybody around me knows I don't mean it. That's how much power your flesh has over you? Well, just this once or for the last time or this or that. All the little stories we tell ourselves to make our sin okay. We got to stop telling those stories. We got to stop giving in. We got to become strangers to that old nature. Strangers to it, dislocated from it. All of a sudden, it'll lose its effect on us. We'll become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, more willing to listen. And all of a sudden, that thing that you're fighting today will become less and less of a situation, less and less of a problem. All of a sudden, the mountain becomes a molehill, and it doesn't seem like it's all that big of a deal. Well, I haven't done it in 15 years. I ain't going to do it today. Wouldn't that be nice? I want you to think about what you're struggling with. Whatever sin's got you by the tail. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say, hey, it's been a decade since that's bothered me. It's been 3 weeks since that's bothered me. Some of you, you'd like a good 3 week break from your sin, right? That's where some people can get. 3 weeks would be plenty pleasant enough. Those things are possible. You can live without sin. You can live without it. You can live better without it. But you've got to be the one to repent of it before the Lord, seek His will, follow His directions, and submit to Him. Still has to be you putting the extra down. Still has to be you controlling this and controlling this and sometimes controlling this and controlling this and controlling all those things. But He will give you the strength to do so. He will give you the victory. He'll be your Lord who gives you the breakthrough. But if we're still defending it. I mean, again, David went. David went from being bummed he couldn't fight with the Philistines to beating them so badly the whole nation shut its mouth, or the whole world shut its mouth. Nation after nation knew the Philistines, knew what they could do. So when David whipped them twice and whipped them good, everybody else had nothing to say. They were afraid of David. Sin won't bother you if you're so close to the Lord. If you get to the point to where your closeness with God is that He's given you the victory over things, you're listening to Him, you're finding out His will, you're abiding in it, you're submitting yourself to it, you get to that point, sin's going to have a hard time getting a hold of you. And you're not going to want it when it does. But if we're fast and loose and we're playing with the world and we're pickling our brains in temptation, how could you not lose? How could you not? You know, I noticed this funny little thing. Wouldn't it just be easier if the two sides of the battle, like, stayed next to each other? I mean, I think of what a big bummer that is to go to war. You got to get up. You got to march a couple miles down to the battlefield. The Philistines have to get up. They got to march a couple of miles down to the battlefield. Wouldn't it just be easier if they all stayed together? And you're looking at me like I've lost it. I know what would happen. They would kill each other, right? And why do we keep our enemies so close and wonder why we're so defeated? Just as ridiculous as the North and the South camping within 15 feet of each other, why do we pickle our brains in sin and then wonder why our brains ain't right? Why do we give into the flesh and feed it so much and feed the spirit so little and then wonder why our spiritual walk is so weak? Victory is guaranteed in those things. It is promised, not by me, not by some name it and claim it organization, but by God. He will give you the victory over your temptation. So what are we going to do? Are we going to go up? Are we going to flank the enemy? Are we going to come charging at them from the mulberry trees? Or are we going to be sitting there, living among them, enjoying their images and their gods, and yet wondering why or where God has gone? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, You've given us so many things to help us avoid temptation. But Father, there's not a one of us here who hasn't given into it. Perhaps we've given into it today. Perhaps we have yet to give into it. But Lord, we know this all the same. We need You to get out of it. So Lord, please strengthen us. Help us. Help us not to be proud. Help us not to be boastful or, Lord, too ashamed to come to You and ask for help. Lord, help us not to love sin so much that we refuse to come to You for help. But Lord, give us strength that we, Father, may be found righteous in Your eyes. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.